Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord.
You come to the communion. You know, you see Jesus with his bloody face and his bloody hands and his body covered, knowing that you're the reason he had to do that. But the thing that he did it because he wanted me.
Right.
He did it because he knew I'd die if he didn't. And he, man, hallelujah. How you'd have to be just stupid to not appreciate him.
Yes.
You just have to not have revelation. You'd have to be blind, naked, miserable, and not know it to not appreciate what Christ did on the cross for us. Hallelujah. Well, God bless you tonight. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to speak on that. Coincidentally here. 1 Corinthians 1, and we'll just go to verse 4. And then we're going to go to Ephesians after this. God bless each one that can make it tonight. Hallelujah. Praise His holy name. 1 Corinthians 1, 4. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by Him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Ephesians 3. And then verse 7. Ephesians 3, starting at verse 7. Whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. I'd like to preach tonight the eternal purpose. The eternal purpose. Let's bow our heads before Him. Hallelujah. Anyone can open the Bible, but it takes the Spirit to bring the Word to pass in our lives. Do you have a need you'd like to lift up before Him? Now believe what you pray in your heart and you'll receive today. Let's pray to Him. Lord Jesus, we come, Lord, as You've told us, with boldness and access to the throne of grace, knowing that You died for us, Lord, that You paid the price that our sins could be forgiven, Lord, and our shackles could drop off our hands and we could live like sons and daughters of God were intended to from the Garden of Eden. Lord, we come tonight thankful, full of thanksgiving in our hearts for what You've done for us. Lord, lifting our hands and lifting our voices and coming to church and serving, it just doesn't seem like enough. But Lord, may it be a sweet-smelling Savior in your nostrils tonight of these honest Christian hearts that want to show You the appreciation due Your name, that they want to come and worship You in the Spirit and truth as You told us, and to partake as You commanded us the communion and to wash one another's feet. We come, Lord, boldly to this throne. We come expecting to hear from You. And Lord, bring us closer to You. Bring us a better relationship with You. And Lord, take away anything that's not like You. We love You, Lord. We appreciate You with all our heart. Heal every sickness that's here and help each one that couldn't be. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated tonight. The eternal purpose. That just really struck out to me. I had a direction I was thinking of going tonight, and then I had a direction I was wondering why I was going tomorrow, and now I know that. So, you know, I've just learned that the Spirit's right, and that we're wrong, and that our feelings don't matter, our ideas are really subpar. He, when God said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my thoughts are higher than yours, He meant what He said. He told it for our good, that we'd quit worrying about it, we quit reasoning, we quit trying to figure anything out, and just rest on what He said about it. That's right. And most of the world, the reason that they're beginning to fault and fluster so much is because they've had, just like Solomon did, King Solomon had enough riches, he had enough wealth, he had enough popularity that he was able to go and do anything he could think of. He could go plant vineyards, he could go get drunk, he could go party with these guys, he could just work hard. He could literally do anything. He could take women, he could not take women, he could do everything that there was available in that time. He could do it. And what happened when he got done? All is vanity. It's worthless. It's a waste of time. Because after you do all these great things, after you invest all this, what happens? You go to the grave like the sinner did. You go to the dust, and some, you know, son that you tried to raise right takes over, and you got no guarantee he's going to use it right. That's right, brother, sister. Why? Because if you invest in temporal purposes, you're only going to come to that conclusion that all is vanity. That's right. You know, they put all kinds of money in a bunch of people to get in some pads and run around with a ball to figure out who's the best this year. And they don't even get done with the game, and they're already talking about what's going to happen next year. Come on. And they get done, it don't matter. They got if you're on Camp A, whoever that is, you got every reason why Camp B shouldn't have won. If you're in Camp B, you got every reason why Camp A shouldn't have won. And when it's all done, it's all vanity. It's nonsense. I just couldn't stand it. I remember one time I had to go to a track. Well, I guess I didn't have to. I chose to go with them. I was a track coach, and I went to the track conference, and all they talked about was sports the whole way down to Columbus, the whole time we were there, and the whole way back. And I'm like, you know what, guys? I'm done. You know, I could talk with you a little bit. I know a little bit here and there. But I'm done with this. Why? Because in my soul, I know it's vanity. I know where it's heading. And I've had too much downtimes. I've had too much depression in this life. I've put too much of my heart into something that let me down, that I got tired of doing that. Amen. And I believe that any Christian, any man that begins to seek God will come to this conclusion that outside of Him, everything's vain. There's no purpose anything in life. So if that's what's not of purpose, what is of purpose then, Brother Andrew? And the Bible tells us according to God's eternal purpose. And God's purpose, it never started. It never ends. It's always just as glorious as it was yesterday. It'll always get better and better and more beautiful and more awesome than you could ever imagine. Glory to God. And I think it'll do us good to delve into what does God say has purpose. Not what I say, not what even the pastor says or this church or whatever. What does God say is of purpose? Amen. Amen. Sure. Oh, hallelujah. Well, if you just, what we just read there in 1 Corinthians, he says, God is faithful to whom ye are called to the fellowship of His Son Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And what we just read there, he said, and I actually go to Ephesians 3 with me. I hope you're ready, because we got some good word tonight from the Lord. Verse 3, and he says, Ephesians 3:8, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Praise God, brother, sister. Too many of us in this message have changed the word mystery from what God made it. He says right here in the Bible, this mystery, if you get a revelation of it, there's a fellowship that goes with it. There's people getting together, hallelujah, for an eternal purpose. Yes. To make all men see. God is not trying to hide it. That's why He opened up the skies and put His face there so you could see it. And if you need science, there it is. I've heard all the debates of how it wasn't supernatural, and that's a bunch of baloney nonsense I've ever heard in my life. Yeah, okay, let's say it was a rocket blowed up out in California. And it just floated in space for a while and then just happened to drop right down there in Arizona. and keep it shaped, mind you, didn't mess up at all. And then it just stops there for a while, and it doesn't follow the wind patterns of the day. It wasn't going fast enough for it to get over there. Look, and if that happened, that's more phenomenal than God just doing it. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. And you know what? People don't like that. You know, they're trying to reason the wall or the shout of Jericho that really it's because they marched around seven times and it broke up the stones because of all the vibration. Well, there was 2 million people. You know what? That probably did some. But the shout, look, it's still God. Nobody's battle playing shout at a wall. Amen. Come on. They did the same with Gideon. Oh, the reason they were able to scare, because of the certain horns that they used, and they got all this mathematics about it. Look, God said it would work, just do it. Don't worry about the mechanics. Don't worry about why or how or whatever. Just let the word come to pass. It will never fail. Don't ask me how putting my hands on somebody will recover them of a disease. I do not know.
Amen.
Glory to God. Don't tell me when an honest heart will come before the throne of God and give themselves in repentance and be identified with the Savior, that God can literally take that soul and bring it back to life.
Amen.
Don't tell me how to explain that a man in sin, though he's walking alive, is truly dead.
Yep.
Hallelujah.
Because
I don't know. But all I know is because he's living for a temporal purpose when God made man for an eternal purpose.
Right.
The fellowship of the mystery. Glory to God. Now let me keep reading there. Which from the beginning of the world has been hidden God, who created all things by Christ Jesus. Now don't zone out on verse 10. This has got a real important meaning here. To the intent. So this is God. This is Paul telling us why he's saying what he's saying. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Glory to God that he's opened up this purpose that you can see what he thought and that it should give you the power and the wisdom that God has. It's been given to the church. Who can stand before the bride? Give me all the devils that's ever been. I know somebody in her that was there making the devil. Hallelujah. He's just a created being. That's right. Gave up his inheritance. He could have had a place in heaven. He gave it up. He gave up a third of the angels with him did it too. But praise God, there wasn't redemption made for the angels. There was redemption made for man. Hallelujah. The eternal purpose. Hallelujah. What is it? What's the eternal purpose of God? It's to spend fellowship with his people. That's it. That's it. And see, we've so diluted fellowship, like real genuine fellowship. Now, I'm not talking little get-togethers and stuff. And we got 5,000 people, so you barely say hi to anybody and you're out of there.
Right.
But at least you got a free meal today.
Right.
Hallelujah. That's how some people treat it. I'd rather go and just talk with you and me. And really get to hear something and learn somebody. That's what fellowship is. And brother, sister, God don't bring us all together like a big smorgasbord and just say, well, I just fellowship with all. He comes to every single one of us individually whenever we need him, whenever we want him. He comes to spend fellowship with you. And this was his purpose. He made man to fellowship with him. So you could express yourself to him and he could express himself back to you. Glory to God. People get to thinking they can define fellowship, though. No, God defines what the fellowship he's looking for is. And it's right here in the Word. If you got 1 John there, 1 John 1. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to try not to be too long for two reasons. One, we got communion. Second, my iPad's got 19%. Something happened there somewhere. 1 John. And let's just start at verse 3, right there, verse 1. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So that's what we're defining it as, okay? Now he's going to keep going here. He said, in these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. Hallelujah. So don't tell me you got the revelation of the seven seals and you're the most grumpiest person, most sad all the time, always complaining about everything. Ain't never got enough money. Ain't never got enough food. Ain't never got enough time. Always tired. Always depressed. Ain't got no friends.
Amen.
Praise God, I got the revelation. Brother, you ain't got nothing. Revelation lives. See, we got to define revelation by the Bible. Revelation is truly, you can see what God sees. You can know what God knows. That's right. And it's been given to you. It ain't imagination. It's reality. And it has power. It has authority. And it will make a Christian happy. Hallelujah. What more do you want than to talk with God? You give me somebody else. Yeah, we'll shuck everyone else in front of God. And it might be look like one of these. Maybe a little smaller phones ain't too, they're getting close to this now, but hallelujah. But that ain't what we're trying. I don't care. You give me any celebrity in the world, I don't really care. The only thing I want to do is get them to the Lord. Because I know at the end of the day, they're going to lose their talents. They're going to lose their skills. They're going to lose their abilities. And they're going to be losers. Hallelujah. They're going to be like a rich young ruler who had all he could have in life. He didn't have any troubles. He was a good religious man. Hallelujah. He had the comforts of saying, I'm a good person. And he actually had something to back it up with. We know in his heart he really wasn't. But see, most people nowadays, that I don't even know what they're banking on. Yeah. I had one guy come to me and he said, well, look, nobody's perfect. So I'm like, well, how you? He said, but we all sin. So I'm like, well, so we're all going to hell. He's like, well, nobody's perfect, though. Well, you just told me. He's like, well, I don't have a chance then. You're right. That's what we're trying to get you to. Now repent. No, I don't need to. I'll be all right. What are you talking about? You just told me you're a sinner. You just told me we're all sinners. You just told me that nobody can make it. Now you're saying that God's just going to let everybody in. Just because. See, the world's twice dead, plugged up by the roots, no common sense, nowhere to go. And all they will do is feed off the seed that they are. That's what it comes down to. God saw it. He's not surprised by it. Laodicea didn't trip up the bride. She got in step with the word and went onward, Christian soldier. That's right. And then, things write we unto you that your joy may be full. And then this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. We're talking about the fellowship of God now, the eternal purpose of God. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Brother, sister, don't you ever have to doubt about this message with the people that are leaving it. That's the greatest testimony that this is right. Because I've watched them turn it away. They go into drugs. They go into pornography. They're going and wishy-washy and don't even believe the Bible no more. Still claiming to be Christians. Others going to jail. Come on now. Others turned atheists, smoking and cussing and everything else. You're going to tell me that those people love God? They don't. They never did. Hallelujah. They were in it for the money. And it might not be a dollar, but it was something. It might have been someone's time. It might have been someone's friendship. Like I said before, and a few years back, you could have had a good clientele of friends by staying in the message. Anymore, it ain't popular. No, it ain't. It ain't even popular in the churches. They don't want nothing to do with it. Why? Because it's Jesus' ministry again, right before the crucifixion, to where the 70 ministers come up and say, this is kind of hard, but we'll stick around. And then he said, wait a minute, you got to wait to see me go back to the throne where I came from on the right hand of the Father. They said, you boy, you're only 33 years old.
Sure.
You only been preaching 3 years. I've been in this Sanhedrin 80 years of my life. And you're going to tell me that you're right and we're all wrong?
Sure.
You're going to tell me that God's going to put you on the throne. You're going to tell me that God's going to put you on the throne.
Right.
Glory to God. Somebody get a revelation tonight. Hallelujah. But you know what? It was true. He said, you'll know. You'll know. Like he told, was it Micaiah told the other false prophet? He said, you'll understand. When you run into that inner chamber there and hide because you're ready to die. And Jesus said, you'll understand when you see me as your judge.
Amen.
Then you'll know that you turned down. And look, in this day, they'll know.
Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah, because it won't come out of the clouds. It'll be the bride of Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I hope that don't confuse you at all. She is the judge of the world. Why? How can we judge angels? It's because we've been part of this eternal purpose. It never started. It never ended. God always wanted it this way. Hallelujah! And if you were a sinner and God loved you, why would you ever doubt His love again? Why aren't you ever praising Him, knowing that He saved you, He glorified you when He did, and He gave you the Holy Ghost so you could never doubt it again? You're gonna be there, bride. You're always there. Hallelujah! And God tried to show people this mystery, but only those that were part of it could see it. Hallelujah. And they won't walk in darkness. They can't, because they know what the Word says.
Right.
If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Look, this message ain't coming just from some whim. It's sitting right here in the Word. This is the message that we have heard. Walk in light. Walk in the gospel. Stay with the message of the hour that God has revealed to you. Don't back down on it one bit. I don't care what preachers start telling us it's okay to go five over. It's not. I don't care what preachers tell us it's okay to skip church for this and to skip for that. It is not. Hallelujah. I don't care what preachers are bringing down the Word one step at a time. Sister, go ahead and bring it up higher. It's not a big deal. Don't you listen to that. Go ahead and wear it a little tighter. It's all right. Fit in. Don't you listen to that.
Right.
Hallelujah. I don't know if I got enough voice to say it the way God's inspiring me, but stay out of Sodom.
Yes.
Amen.
Glory, it will kill you.
Right.
Hallelujah. And if I understand you're saved, you can't kill you that way, but it will kill you in this life. Yes, it will. That's right. You can disobey so long, God will let you die. Look, I'm in this for the long haul. I'm in this to get out. That's right. I'm in this to be one of those that can translate.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's right. That's the faith I got in my heart about it anyhow. Amen. We ain't too old yet, right? We can make it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Somebody saying, brother, if you're a little closer, you might think different. No, that's all right. Let me read you just out of the Paradox, 1964. In the beginning, He was the Father. He was above all. He was alone. He dwelt alone, Elohim. Even when He come down upon the mountain, even if an animal touched the mountain, they must die. But then He was made flesh, and we touched Him and handled Him. He did that in order to shed His blood, virgin blood, because we are born by sexual desire. He was born virgin birth. He wasn't born by a Jew, neither was He a Gentile. He was God, creative blood. See, Jew blood don't save us. Gentile blood don't save us. God's blood, the Bible says, saves us. He was God's blood. And the Father now dwells in us by His death. He sanctified a church that's absolutely, this church, unclean, filthy. God condescending from a pillar of fire down to be made a man, and then the Holy Spirit right in us. Don't you see what it is? The same God coming down all the time now. God above us. God with us. God in us. See? Like the thoughts of God, the Word of God, and the manifestation of the Word. Just the same thing from the beginning. God thinking a Father. He was a Son. He was a Savior. He was the Healer. He was. The words were spoke and it was manifested. A virgin shall conceive, bear a Son. His name shall be called Emmanuel, Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. And it was. And from that come forth, that He might bring forth many sons unto God. The whole thing is God revealed. God above us, God with us, God in us. A paradox indeed, that God would dwell in man Himself. Sure. No, brother, sister, it doesn't make any sense. Why would God choose you? Actually, even just in the human race, why would God even bother with us? We're the only ones that ever messed this up in the first place. The whale's still living like a whale. The earth would still do what it wants to. The source system don't miss a beat, but for some reason man won't listen to a thing God tells him. Amen. And yet that's the prize that God wanted. Why? Because I don't know what to tell you. God made us for Him. It was His purpose. He allowed the fall to happen, but He was never surprised by it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why did God become flesh. Why did he suffer? Look, he chose to do this. He didn't have to. He wanted to.
Amen.
Glory to God. If you read it, let me just read it to you. It's Hebrews 2, verse 8. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all things under his feet, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not all things yet put under him. But we see Jesus. Do you see him tonight? But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Look, brother, sister, that's the only reason he told Pilate the same thing. I have come here for one purpose. Hallelujah. If I was a king of this world, my subjects would fight, but that would defeat the eternal purpose. He could have set up a kingdom. He could have had a good life. He could have had children. He could have had a good temporal purpose, but for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. What was the joy? It wasn't heaven. It was you. Glory. Hallelujah. And God has pulled back the seal. He's shown this to us. And look at the church. What's wrong, brother, sister? What's wrong with the church? They're just not staying in that word.
Amen.
They're going into reason. He's saying, well, this don't make sense. That won't make sense. The prophet told you it's a paradox. It doesn't make sense, but it's true.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Explain how you were there. I can't, but I was.
Amen.
Explain to me how you'll be there. I can't, but I will.
Amen.
Explain to me, brother, how do you get to church? I just do it.
Amen.
How do you love God? Just do it. I don't know. It's my makeup.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I feel so bad for people. They want to force it and do all these things, and they miss God all the time that way. We are saved by amazing grace.
Yes.
Not mercy. Look, mercy's part of it. But the reason we could even be saved was grace.
Amen.
I chose you.
Amen.
That's why Paul said that, you know, the scripture already wrote, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. And he said, why was that? Before either of them did anything. God said, that's mine. That ain't.
Amen.
And for some reason, we think God's love starts real high and wanes off as we get older in the Lord. Look, that's what you do. Oh my, you come, when you first, a real Christian, really come to the Lord, they know, I'm a sinner, man.
Yeah.
Whew, I need help. I need some, and God come and show all His love and grace and wipe the slate clean, and you just feel all the condemnation leave you, and He just blesses you. Hallelujah, come on. At least I hope that's happened to you, because you ain't saved if it didn't yet. But we begin to think that God's love will diminish as we make mistakes again. Hallelujah. Now again, we've already said the Holy Ghost keep you in a certain ring here, all right? You can't just go, no, no, no. If you walk in darkness, you're a liar. You've never been converted. But you slip up. You make mistakes. That's the warfare. That's what makes it so hard for us to continue to believe God's love is we have to know that we never earned it. That's why He's letting that happen. Do you hear me tonight? That's why He lets you fall. That's why He gets you to where you never meet your own standard, is because you can't be saved by that. And He has to convince us of that.
Amen.
At least He has to convince me. You didn't pray long enough. You didn't read long enough. And boom, here come the devil. Just boom, boom. Ain't saved, ain't saved, ain't saved. Uh-huh. Yo, you're a pastor. That don't mean nothing. I read the same quotes you do. Hallelujah. You might think that means something, but I already heard a voice that said, it don't matter what preacher you are, pastor. If you ain't got it, you ain't got it. That's right. Hallelujah. It actually could be even more deceiving because a man behind the pulpit can get inspired genuinely by the Holy Ghost and bless the bride and miss it himself.
Sure.
That's right. I ain't claiming that testimony. I'm just telling you that's true.
Yeah.
You know, Brother Branham preached disappointments at judgment. I think there's going to be a few fine there. Hallelujah. It's got to be in your heart, and that's what I'm saying tonight. Lord God, let my heart be pure. I know the signs will follow. I know I'll see this or that. Oh, get that unbelief out, brother, sister. God came to us. You didn't come to Him. You ran. Some of you knew this message and ran the other way, and God said, nope, pulled you right back. And some of us like me who shouldn't even have nothing to do with it. God found me. That's right. Hallelujah. Well, I guess I'll read the scripture now. Hebrews 2:9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. That was the only reason. Crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God, or that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man.
Yes.
That includes me and you, brother, sister.
Amen.
For it became him, listen to this, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things. So we're just establishing right now that this is the Creator. And this is a Creator that he doesn't just let things happen. They are made for his purpose.
Amen.
And yet this became that man. He became this Jesus made flesh for the suffering of death because he knew all things. Why? Why did he do it? What was the purpose? For it became him. For whom are all things? And by whom are all things? And bringing many sons unto glory. To make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Oh, glory to God. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one.
Oh my. Amen. Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, Jesus, you're worthy. Well, come on, are you saved or not? Then you're worthy.
Amen.
Jesus, you're holy. Oh, I've been, he's that sanctified. You hear me now? How many believes he was sanctified? Of course we do.
Sure.
Well, whoever he sanctified, according to the word, they are one.
Amen.
Glory to God. I show you a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church.
Amen.
They're all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Oh my, what else do you want in life, brother, sister? What blessing could God give you? I don't care if I got to live sick the rest of my days and lose everything in this life. I just want to hear that voice that says, you're my brother. You're my friend. You're my love. Hallelujah. Come into the joys of the Lord, thou good and faithful servant. I don't care about anyone else's voice. I want to hear that.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
For he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare the name unto my brethren. Glory to God. Why did Brother Branham say, right after you're saved by the grace of God, he said the first revelation you need is the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Why? Because it ties you right into this.
Amen.
If Jesus is just a man, it doesn't matter that we're one with him. If Jesus was just a good prophet, it doesn't matter that we're one with him. But when we have a revelation that the Almighty became the propitiation for sin, and then after he raised again, he turned around and stepped right back, it means a little bit more that we're one with him.
Amen.
And don't you tell me this is complicated. My son told me. He said, I said, what did Jesus do? He said, he died on the cross. And he said, we died with him, Daddy.
Uh-huh.
I said, that's right. And I said, what happened after that? He said, he raised again. I said, and what happened to us? He said, we raised with him.
Yes.
And that's going to come up in the face of some of these intellectual preachers that's left this message and say it's too hard, too complicated. I'm going to follow a simpler Jesus. They're going to have God play back a testimony of a four-year-old who had enough revelation to figure it out.
Amen.
And you know what? They'll be condemned by the Bible because Jesus said that. Yes. If you don't receive this as a child, you won't come in. Yeah, we think we need to, got to figure this out, man. Come on now. I got to make sure I got all the quotes because there might be something a little bit different that I might mess up. Well, you already messed up anyways because you're going on it intellectually. And I'm telling you right now, the devil will find you something to mess up your whole doctrine. Oh, yes, he will. And by the time it's done, I'm going to tell you right now, you ain't saved, you ain't sanctified, you ain't never met God, you ain't done nothing for the kingdom, and you're going to hell faster than the Pope. That's what's going to happen.
Right.
I won't say it in his name, but I'll say it in mine. In my experience, that's what happens.
Yeah.
Amen. But if you'll just rest in his promise, rest in his presence, rest that this is what God's purpose is for my life.
Yeah.
Not to kill me. He didn't come to destroy life. He came to save it. And God didn't send us a message to make us confused, to make us hate other people. He made it so we could be saved.
Amen.
Because we were delusioned. We thought it'd be okay to be a Baptist. It'd be okay to be Presbyterian or Pentecostal or just floating around in the message. We thought it ain't good enough. I got to know this God. I got to meet this God myself. I can't meet Daddy's God. I can't meet Mommy's God. I can't meet the pastor's God. I got to meet God.
Amen.
Amen. And you can.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And actually, that's what's going on.
Amen.
He's knocking. He's knocking, just waiting for you to give the littlest effort to Him. To push it open.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And the wind of the Holy Ghost will shove it the rest of the way. Yes, it will.
Amen.
That's right. If you open up your heart to God, He floods the heavens for you.
Amen.
Amen. That ain't a Cadillac now, but it'll sure give you peace at night. Amen. I don't need a Cadillac anyways. They don't ride that well.
Amen.
At least the one I was in. Where I'm going, I don't think I need a car. Actually, I don't. That's right. Last I checked, I don't think we need shoes, right? And that was the prophet said, they're all barefoot over there. So how's that going to work? Remember, thorns and thistles is part of the curse.
That's right.
There wasn't none of that before then.
Amen.
Glory to God. I don't need that fake turf. Give me the real grass.
Amen.
When their eyes were open, they knew him. 1964. You enjoying the word tonight?
Yes.
Let me see here. I got 15. All right. When he was on the cross in Caiaphas, the priest, all said, if thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Come down off the cross. We'll believe you. See, they just couldn't understand how God could ever go to the cross and die.
Right.
But that's the reason God was made flesh. So he could die.
Right.
Hallelujah. And what a simple revelation that is. But do you know that's why many people have a hard time saying Jesus was God?
Yeah.
How could he die? How could he be tempted? How could he suffer? How could he pray, not my will, but thine be done? How can he, and then still be God? Because God was made flesh. He was made, and not eternal flesh, not like Melchizedek. He was made like unto sinful flesh.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And sinful flesh has bad desires. That's right. Amen. Oh my, something didn't strike right, but I'm telling you, he was made like us.
Yes.
No sin of his own. That's where you cross the line. It wasn't his sin, but he took upon himself the whole sin of the whole world. Hallelujah. And he suffered the reproach, despising the shame. Again, why? For the joy that was set before him. Hallelujah. But that's the reason God was made flesh, so he could die. And the Pharisees paid him the greatest compliment he ever had when they said others he did save, himself he cannot save. Certainly that was a compliment. If he saved himself, he could not save others. He had to give himself. That's the reason God was made flesh in order to die, that he could suffer and take the penalty upon himself. He couldn't do it as long as he was Jehovah in the Spirit. Look, praise God for that. That is so much simpler than listening to this Trinitarian nonsense. That's so much simpler than the one that's trying to figure that out. God showed it to us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He was the Spirit, eternal, never changing Jehovah God. That's right. But even Jehovah means God in his family. So there had to be some representation of a family even before there was time.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. But that same God became... Why can he? Because he's God. That's why. Because if God has a purpose, he can get the job done. I'm glad Abraham figured that out. He took him one day to say, you know what? God told me this. And God don't mess up. I don't know why. I don't know why I need a son. I don't know what it's all about. Neither did we. But praise God, without Isaac wouldn't have come Jacob. Without Jacob wouldn't have come David. Without David, there would have been no Messiah. But praise God, he believed the word for his day, and it brought forth the word for the next day. Hallelujah. God help us just to believe the word for our day. Just believe it. Soak it in. Brother, sister, we're turning a corner. We're getting ready to leave. We're going to go to another 3-day wedding supper. Hallelujah. That's the corner I'm turning. I hope you ain't looking for some turning down here. We're done turning. We went around. We built the foundation. Come on. We're done at the top. It's time to just go up. That's right. Just go right off through the chimney. Let's get out of here. We don't need this house anymore anyways. We're just going to take this whole thing and go fly it up where it needs to be. Praise. That's the body of Christ now. I'm going to get pulled up. That's right. Stringed all together. It's one body. Where was I at? Let me see here. All right. That's the reason God was made flesh in order to die, that he could suffer and take the penalty upon himself. He couldn't do it as long as he was Jehovah in the Spirit. God the Father in spirit could not do it. But when God was made flesh and dwelt among us, a human being, then he could taste death and take the penalty that He had put upon all human beings. He took it upon Himself and paid the price. Glory to God. Turn to Hebrews 12. Thank you, Lord. Hebrews 12. Verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which just easily, so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. What's He trying to tell us there? Is look, yes, you've gone through things. He says, yes, you got sins that easily beset you. But when it's all said and done, look to Him. Look to what He had. Look to where He was. And look to what He not did as a showboat, but what He did so He could save you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And that should take away all the weary. Should take all the way the faintness of your mind, saying, oh, it's just too hard. It's just too much trial. There's just too many wrongs in this world. There's too many things going wrong in the message. I'm just so confused. Let it go and look to Him.
Yes.
Look to Him and say, well, wait a minute. Can God fail? Hallelujah. That's what the prophet said. There's one thing God cannot do, and that's fail. Well, we've already proven by the Word that God's purpose, His one eternal purpose, was to take a bride unto Himself and to live with her for eternity.
Amen.
And you're going to tell me that some backwash devil is going to stop God's purpose. I don't care if it's Lucifer himself. He's already got kicked out once. He'll get kicked out again. Yes, He will. Remember, that's why He comes down with great wrath. Because when He finally enters, look, I'm gone. But when He finally enters into that man, He knows what the Word says. He knows He's got a limited time. And oh my, what a terrible thought to those not in Christ at that time. Amen. Especially those that know better.
Yeah.
Don't be one of them, brother, sister. I hope I had enough voice. I could just scream it to the housetop. You know so much of God's Word.
Right.
You are that accountable if you don't receive it.
Amen.
Amen. But I'm saying I don't care what anybody else is doing with
right.
it. Lord, here's my heart. Here's my soul. I receive it.
Amen.
Amen. Fellowship 1960. Now God wanted fellowship. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Do you believe it? Is it right out of the Word? Yes, it is. Hallelujah. God wanted fellowship. Now when God made man in the beginning when God made man in the beginning to fellowship with Him, then this man was in perfect fellowship in the Garden of Eden. He was in perfect fellowship with God. And how it must have been on that day when God would come down in the cool of the evening and call Adam, and he and Eve up, and they would worship God, and they would fellowship and commune one with the other. That was the very thing that calls us together like this, set together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, fellowshipping in the Holy Spirit. No difference in us. We're all one in Christ Jesus in that perfect harmony of fellowship. There's nothing like it I've ever found on earth, is to come together in heavenly places and have communion, fellowship with God and with each other. Now that's what God intended in the Garden of Eden. And that fellowship from God and man was broken by sin. Now God made a basis and a ground upon which man could retain His fellowship. And it wasn't through a get-together.
Right. Go on.
Or organization.
Yeah.
Or an education. Yeah. It was on the basis of the shed blood. I think we need to read that more in the message.
Yep.
I'm learning, brother, sister. I have to fight that off too as a pastor. You know, a lot of times anymore, people, they got their idea of what a pastor does. And a lot of it is just little, you know, kiss the babies and marry the young people and you know, go say hi. But, you know, you don't rebuke sin. Don't tell people they're doing wrong. Then you'll split your church and you just cause all kinds of trouble. And hallelujah. But I've learned, you know what? That ain't helped nobody.
No.
That ain't, Actually, it's made worse. I've watched it. I've got plenty of friends. I've watched that stuff nearly destroy them because they'll put their confidence in this man and they'll say, oh yeah, he really loves us. He really does. And then they watch the whole thing crumble because there was no foundation in the beginning. They find out this man didn't love them. This man couldn't care less about them because the second he wanted to get out, they were gone. That's right. Look, if a man loves you, if a woman loves you, they'll stay with the Word. That's right. They'll love you from the Word and say, look, you need to come over here. That's what Abraham tried to tell Lot. Look, that sodomy, you can go. I ain't going that way. Wherever you go, I'm going the other way because I know right now you're not part of this promise. And brother, sister, don't you go fighting against the Word to go get somebody that ain't want, that doesn't want the Word. Amen. Amen. Look, that's not how it worked for you. There was something stirred all the time. You might have resisted, but there's something there that keep bringing you back, keep bringing you back. Nobody had to come get you. God was getting you.
Amen.
We preach the Word, we live the Word, but we never leave the Word.
No way.
Amen. Hallelujah. It's not get-togethers. That's great. That's fine. But people, we can't just do that and expect God to give us a revival. If you ain't living it, you ain't getting it.
Amen.
Amen. If you ain't part of it, you ain't part of it. If you're not born again and you're shimmying back on someone else's experience, one day that experience will fade away. But praise God, I ain't banking on my experience. I ain't banking on yours. I'm banking on His.
Amen.
His experience when He said, it is finished. I have redeemed you. Hallelujah. Yes, He told that to me. How do I know that, Brother Dan? Because I received the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I received the seal of God, and it changed me. It changed me from the wretch I was into a Christian.
Amen.
Amen. It brought me to fellowship with God. And I can attest, this world is doing everything it can not to fight your doctrine, not to fight your religious motives, to fight your relationship with Him.
Amen.
Because the devil's got a revelation more than most Christians that that's God's one purpose for man. And if he can just break that, you can have all the religion you want. You can have all the get-togethers, all the education, all the organization you want. And God, the devil will make it look like it's getting blessed by God. You say, oh, good thing I didn't preach that one quote, would have split my church. I'm glad I bypassed that because now we're all good and happy and go lucky. I wonder what you got. Actually, I don't wonder. You got a mess.
Amen.
That's right. And just keep preaching the Word. You never see Jesus back down. You never see Paul back down. That was divine love. You can't change what love is. God is love.
Amen.
So the way God did it is what love is.
Amen.
Amen. And I love people enough to just tell them the truth.
Amen.
I actually had a somebody watch me. I have it recorded online. You know, the students can watch my teaching at the high school. And I had a brother listen to one, and yeah, it's kind of funny. It's funny sometimes, all right? I make some comments that most teachers probably wouldn't say. But Brother Steve said, not inappropriate or anything, he said it like this. He said, you just sound like a straight shooter. He said, actually, you know what? You sound just the same with them as you would with anybody else. And I said, praise God. That's what I want.
Amen.
Because if I've got to change what I am from person to person, you know what that makes you?
A hypocrite.
Because if this one ain't good enough and you got to change to be this one for this guy, what happened to that guy?
Yeah.
One of them's the hypocrite. I don't know. But one of them ain't the Christian you're supposed to be. And you know what? If the whole line of them are wrong, well, just get rid of all of them. You're wrong, 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 wrong. Well, I agree. We're all wrong, 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 wrong. But I'm not resting on me. I'm resting on the God that lives in me.
Amen.
And you know what? Just do what He says. It's right here in the Word. Wherever you are, preach it.
Amen.
Like I told you, sisters, wear it down. That's right. That preaches more than any of us men can. Amen. Not saying it's a sin to wear it up, but just don't be afraid to put it down. That's right. Amen. I know my wife's got three of them, like jump on and pull it too. I got it. I understand, sis. It's not always easy. But I'll tell you what, that's what preaches. That's what preaches. You show me somebody that identifies a church by the men. I ain't never seen it. They always identify it by the women. Oh, they must be apostolic. They must be Amish. They must be Mennonite. They must be Baptist or something. Always identified by the women, never the men.
Right.
Hallelujah. And the only Christ this world can see, and God designed it this way,
yes,
is through the bride.
Right. Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for bringing that back around. It wasn't through get-togethers or organization or education. It was on the basis of the shed blood. And that's the only place of fellowship that we can have with God today. And the only meeting place is through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's exactly right, see. I'm going to have to take a drink for this one. Give me a second. You think Brother Andrew's a straight shooter? Listen to this. Now, we tried organizing to fellowship. You break off with another group when you do that. All right. We try to educate them to fellowship. And what do we get? Why? We get a bunch of educated idiots. Yep. And that's a horrible thing for a preacher to make a statement like that, but it's the truth. Something happened to me a few weeks ago, and I'm determined by the help of God never to be negative anymore, to blast my heart out and remind me, no matter what it costs, be sincere and down to the bottom of it. And that's the truth. And men just educate themselves till they'll educate themselves away from one another. Get complexes. You don't get no complex by the blood of Jesus Christ. You get love. You get love, not a complex. That I'm a little bigger than somebody else, a little better than somebody else, and know a little bit more than somebody else. You just got your arms around everybody, and it's a basis of love through the blood. The blood cleanses, and fellowship comes by love, and love requires fellowship. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, I agree. We ought to get with one another, but that don't make you saved. We ought to get, you know, we all preaching unity and things like that and trying to get everybody together. And the prophet said that's uniting times and signs. That's right. The whole world's doing it. But look, we're not uniting as churches. We're supposed to be uniting as the Word. Amen. Amen. And if you ain't coming under the shed blood, brother, sorry. I already saw the death angel down the road. I'm not going out there. I'm staying in here. We can have all the fellowship you want if you want to come to the blood. Amen. Yeah, if you'll just come in here with the blood's out there, I ain't worried about it no more. We can dance, we can shout, we can praise the Lord. That's great. But as long as you want to be out there, I'm not going to have nothing to do with you. Uh-huh. Not because I'm trying to, but because love compels me. Love compels me, because if you look at me as a Christian and I go ahead and step out there, you think it'll be okay for us to be out there?
Right.
And you know what? We'll both perish. That's what Jeremiah said. He said, you're a watchman. You're a watchman. And if you see them and don't say nothing about it, I hold his blood on you. But if you'll say it and they turn it down, well, that's on them. But praise God, you'll save somebody out of there. Hallelujah. Stick with the Word, brother, sister. We're so diluting it. I hope you're catching that in this message. It's getting so down and dirty and nasty. You can just do everything in the world that 10 years ago we didn't do.
Right.
Really, it's the cell phone. That's what changed everything. It gave you such a quick access to everything that you didn't have a chance to think of the conviction of the Holy Ghost. Before, you know, you'd have to go buy a TV and wheel the thing in and really think, you know what? That was a lot of time to think this over. I got that way with it was Amazon, that's right. And they figure out this new way you can do one-click pay on PayPal. Before, you know, you'd look at something, maybe I'll get that. So you click on it, and you got to go through a few things, and halfway in it, you're like, I don't need that. Talk yourself out of it, right? There, I didn't waste my $10. I can save that.
Yep.
And then they turn out the one-click. You know what you do? You're like, click. Oh, it's purchased. It's coming. I don't need that. I didn't talk. Oh, there goes $10. I didn't need that. That's what's happened. We've become so programmed to impulse, we don't learn to just listen for the Spirit of God to tell us something. That's right. Hallelujah. Whew. Well, Lord, you're going to have to finish this one. 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1. And I'll close on this scripture and we'll get into communion time. I hope you're enjoying the Word. First Peter 1. Let me find where I want to start. It's all good, isn't it? Let's just go to verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold which perishes, though it be tried with fire,
might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, and whom though you not you, though now you see him not yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Why are we rejoicing? Why do we have joy unspeakable? Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. You've already received it. Of which salvation, listen to this, the prophets have inquired and searched diligently who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things. Let me just stop there. What's he saying? He said these prophets were moved by the Holy Ghost to say things.
Right.
And they knew it was, but they couldn't make sense of it. Now Isaiah said, a virgin shall conceive. What does that mean? What does that mean? Is that the Jewish nation? Is that this girl over here? What does that mean? And it was never revealed to him. David wrote psalm after psalm. My God, why have you forsaken me? You know, my hands stare at me. They parted my garments. They nail my hands. My bones stare at me. He's saying, why am I saying this? What is it? I know I'm inspired, but what does it mean? God didn't reveal it to them. But that same word, he's saying right here, and it wasn't revealed to them. But unto us they did minister the things. And you're going to tell me that God made prophets prophesy things for you,
yes,
so you could be lost later on. Shut up. It was because you're his.
Amen.
Amen. That might be rude for a preacher to say, but I think sometimes we need to hear it the way it needs. Oh, just simmer down now. Just quiet down. No, shut up with that unbelief. Kick it out of the door. Quit talking about it and tell me what the Word said about it.
Amen.
I know that's what it says, but you know, I didn't. No, I don't know.
I don't.
I know the Word. I don't know what you're saying. That don't mean nothing to me.
Right.
Amen. All right, 11. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify and testify beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desired to look into.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Why is he telling us? He's trying to get the same point across to you that, look, what are you doubting for? You're seeing things angels want to see. You're seeing things, these prophets that you adore, because this was Israelites now, you know, David and Abraham and all, you adore those guys. But I'm here to tell you, you're seeing things through this spitting preacher back here. That's what he said. Those minister of the word by the Holy Ghost. Paul and Thaddeus and whoever, you know, going around preaching. You're hearing things angels wanted to look into. They wanted to see what it was all about.
Sure.
And God kept it from them. What is he telling you to do then? Verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end of grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. As obedient children, not fashion yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. For because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And now it makes all the sense in the world. Brother, sister, I didn't understand this at all before the message of the hour came. What does this have to do with Christ? How is he God? What does that have to do with me? What is the revelation of Jesus Christ? It was just a big blur. I didn't know what it was talking about. And even when I came to the message, there's plenty of it I didn't understand. But God has now torn, I'm sorry, I can see it. I can see the revelation of Jesus Christ, and I can tell you what it did to me. It gave me a sober mind. It gave me peace in my soul, and it tells me I can be holy because I always was holy. Because my soul has never been tainted by the devil. The devil could never get in there.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God was sealed in, and he was sealed out.
Amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God. God, open our eyes tonight to see that we as individuals are his eternal purpose.
Amen.
And when we come tonight, look, we come, yes, we check our souls. Yes, we want to do what's right, brother, sister. That's a Christian. That's what we do. Be holy. Don't do the former lust. Do what Christ is telling you now. Get your heart right for God. Don't have enmity between each other. Sure. Amen. Get it all settled in the blood. But here's what I'm telling you. It's settled in the blood. It's over. It's settled. It's done. And God has made you so holy that you can't partake of Him.
That's right.
And it doesn't bother God a bit.
No.
That's right.
Because as He that sanctifies is holy, so are all those that are sanctified, because we're all one.
Amen.
Let's stand together tonight.
Yes, Jesus. That's good.
Glory to God. Longing for Jesus, Dad. See. Sing a little bit here.
Longing for Jesus, I have a longing in my heart for Him. Just to be near.
Believe it now. Glory to God.
To feel His presence, I have a longing in my heart for
glory to God. Yes, Lord. Yes, we do. Thank You, Lord.
Yes, I'm
Ghost tonight. Thank You for Your presence, Your revelation, Your love to me, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Just to
doesn't mean everything to you, saint. Yes, Lord.
And to feel His presence,
let Him tear everything out of you that's not Him.
For Him.
One more time, all together.
Oh, yes.
Yes, I'm
Lord.
Oh, thank You, Lord.
Longing for Jesus, I have a longing.
Perfect fellowship. Thank You, Lord.
Shut in with God in a secret place. There in the
if there's anyone who'd like prayer tonight, would you come forward now?
Shut.